song to start the lesson. Well, I guess we all getting wings. You know, and they asked Jesus about who's going to marry this person, who's going to marry that person. When this life is over, and Jesus, he made a plan and said, ain't none of that going to happen. This is what's going to happen. We're going to be as angels. There's not going to be married or given into marriage. We will all be like angels in heaven. So, sorry. They try to confuse him and with all these other things and questions, and with this lesson we dealt with this morning, it all has to deal with the same thing, okay? If there's anything, all this stuff is a big, huge distraction. The world is an expert at getting you distraction on who really has all power. It ain't this virus. It's not the news. It's not any of this stuff. God has all power, all right? Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, okay? In verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and to earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples in the name of the Father, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. This is our commission. This is who we are. This is what we do. It doesn't matter what's going on. The mission doesn't stop. God never stops working. We should never stop believing in this. All authority in heaven and in earth. So what I'm telling y'all is God has all power. He has given it to the Son, and it is his. There's nothing that's going on that he doesn't know about. And there is no problem bigger than the power of God. You got to always and know that now. The problem you have is not big enough. Okay? It ain't big enough. God has way more power than that problem. Alright? And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Alright? And verse 24. You can go there, but you don't have to. The Bible says, then come at the end, when he shall deliver it up the kingdom to God, and even the Father, when he has put down all authority and power. So he's going to give the power back to God. So there's nowhere where I can read within these passages where God relinquished the power to the world and said, you guys are on your own. You can handle this by yourself. Okay? But I do read where it says in the Bible that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always until the end. So I do read that. So all the stuff that's going on is a true testament to your faith and who you really are putting your trust in. All right? That's what it really comes down to. Okay? God is going to take care of us. He's not going to leave us here and bare. Okay? Now, whatever you're going through, okay, that is real. Okay? That may be real, but guess what also is real? Your faith is going to manifest itself to be real once you put your trust in God. All right? Let me get back to my lesson. Let's go to Joshua. I'm going to show y'all some real power. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. This is after the children of Israel was going around the walls of Jericho, and they came tumbling down like a heap of wheat. These were some very strong walls. And they came down. Why did they come down? Because God said they were. And so at this time, the king of Jerusalem, Adoni-Zedek, he was a king. He heard about Joshua and how he was taking down Ai, and he has taken down the walls of Jericho, and they had a problem. Okay? So it wasn't just this king, Adoni, but it was five kings that came and tried to besiege against Joshua and also his allies of King Gibeon. I'm going to start off here at verse number 2. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities, and it was larger than Ai. And all the men were good fighters. So Adoni-Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, the Parim king of Jermoth and Japhia, and the king of Lachish, and Deber, the king of Eglon, came up and helped. They said, come up and help me attack Gibeon. Because these children of Israel and Joshua had just destroyed Ai. They utterly destroyed them, and they brought down the walls of Jericho. So now they are in great fear because they are coming. All right? This is the kind of faith that we should have. Okay? We should have the faith to say, okay, they're coming. While you're at work, while you're at home, it doesn't matter where you are. Okay? You should have no fear or no worry. All right? This is what the world does. This is not what we should do. Okay? Now, danger is very real. If you see a snake on the ground and it's trying to come up to you, that's danger. That's real. You need to, I'm not saying be fearful, but you need to do something to stop that thing or get the heck up out of here. Okay? That's real. That's danger. Okay? But fear, in a lot of ways, are things we come up with ourselves. All right? People are afraid of dark. People are afraid to go somewhere alone. People are afraid of not having things. That's why we over-confiscate confiscate for stuff. The reason why we create these things is because we're unsure. And when you're unsure, you need to be sure about one thing. God is greater than what you're unsure about. You need to remember that and not forget it. All right? So they're asking him. He came to all these kings and he said, please help me take them out. He said, because it is made peace with Gibeon has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, and all these Jermoth and Lachish and Eglon, they joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and they took up positions against Gibeon to attack it. So they want to take them out. And they got a whole lot of help. And then the Gibeonites went, sent word to Joshua and camped at Gilgal. He says, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because the Amorites, the kings from the hill country, have came and joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up to Gilgal and with his entire army, including all the best fighters and the men. Then the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I have given them to your hands. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. So what he's really saying is, none of them going to escape. We're going to take them all out. Don't even worry about it. Okay? Now, is God going to speak to you through a prophet personally and say, don't worry about what's going on right now. Everything's going to be okay. No, he's not going to do that. But guess what he has done? He has put all the authority in his son's hands. Okay? And had told him that we're going to be okay. All we got to do is have faith in God. Now, does that sound so easy? Yes, it sounds very easy. But is it so easy? No. Why is it not so easy? Because when you go out there and you see what the world is going through, you see the trouble that they're in, some of that can rub off on you. And you start thinking the way they think. You cannot do that. Just as it says in Isaiah, my ways, not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, are my ways than your ways. We have to think on things above. Keep your mind on things above. Just remember, all this stuff that's going on is temporary. It is the stuff you see on the news and in social media that makes things so much worse than it really is. They amplify it. They market it. They put it out there like it's an app that everyone has to have. This is the kind of fear they put in people so they will be uncertain. Why is that? It's a huge distraction so Satan can have any kind of advantage, not over the people of the world, but on us. He don't want the people of the world. He already got them. Already got all these barns. I want the greater barns. I want the ones over there. I'm trying to get to those barns over there. If I can get those, I'll have the whole world in disarray. That's what he really wants. He wants the church to be rattled and troubled. Because if I can stop them from getting together, the rest of the world is going to follow because they're already beating to my drum. If I can only get those brothers and sisters over there, it'll make it so much better for me. Okay? And that's what they're trying to do. If I can just get Gibeon and those Israelites, we can take care of everything else, because Gibeon, they have all, that's good cities. That's good land. That's good trade. If we can just, we already got these kings together. Even Jerusalem and all those other kings, they're all with me. I just need to take out Joshua and those Israelites. That's all I got to do and everything's going to be okay. But God is saying, don't worry about their problem. That problem's already solved. All you got to do is go and fight. The war is already won. All we got to do is hold on. Jesus already said, for let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it's not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. In the place I go, I will come back and take you there with me. And he said, how will we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's power. That's real power for someone to say something like that. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Don't worry. I got you. That's what God is saying right here. Don't be afraid of them. I have given them into your hands. You praying for me? I already answered it. I already answered it. It's already done. We got a God so powerful to where even when I'm saying words, there is a comforter that intercedes for my prayer to make sure it gets through to the Father. I got help on top of help. Jesus says, you ask the Father in my name, and I will answer it. I will make sure it goes through, because I got a comforter to make sure it goes through. They're praying to God, and God's already like, don't even worry about it. I got that already. That's all right. I'm going to deliver it to your hands. And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. Isn't that crazy? It's not crazy for God. He said he threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road up to Beth Horon and cut them down by the all the way to Azekah and Maacah. And as they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth and Horon and Azekah, the Lord hurled a large hailstorm. Y'all can't get away. They can't go nowhere. Hailstorm is in the sky. So ain't like they can move. And no matter where you go, I can travel anywhere in this world. Guess what? The sky is there. So ain't nowhere I can go to get away. The sky is there. A hailstorm came down on them from the sky. And more of them died from the hailstorm than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. He physically got involved and did something about it. Because they had a promised land to go to. And he wasn't going to let none of them stop that from happening, because God keeps his promises. All right. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, he said in front of the people, people need to hear this in public, that everything's going to be okay. He needs to say it in public. O sun, stand over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ahijah, so the sun stood still so they could get away to safety. He made the sun stood still for the children of Israel. What kind of power is this? Sun stands still for us so we can go to safety, because the sun was going down a little bit faster than they wanted it to. So he made it stand still so they can get to their destination. And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. Just like God said, don't worry, I'm going to give them to your hands. And I'm going to make sure the elements help you too. That's crazy. So it is written in the book of Jashar. So the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. Not like it's going on right now. What's going on right now, they say it's a pandemic. I can't say it right, but they said it's that. Of some unprecedented things. Stores closed down. Walmart even shortened its hours. People are closing up shop. People are selling stocks. People are doing things they've never done before. Things are getting postponed. You can't even go to a buffet. This is an unprecedented thing that's going on. But it ain't more unprecedented than the sun stopping and the moon stopping. So you can get to safety. So you got a God that can do things way more than just close the stores down. How about we gonna make it to where can't no one get in your way, period. That's way greater. Whatever problem is, God is greater than it. Okay? So I'm telling y'all is, all you gotta do is hold. Just stay put. And stand still. Okay? And see the glory of the Lord. Like, like Moses said when they were trying to get through the Red Sea. You have Pharaoh, who was stubborn and did not want to let the people go. He had to put in all these plagues. Sent the flies, he sent the frogs, he sent that stinky smell, turned the water into blood. He had the firstborn die. He had people get lice. He had the locusts. He had all this stuff happen because you got a stubborn person that not want to let people go so they can worship their God freely. Don't you think for a second that this stubborn government is not trying to find a way for us to do what we're doing right now. Don't think they're not trying to do it. They're trying to find a way to make sure I can't do this. They're trying to find a way. They're trying to find a loophole somewhere. They're trying to tank the economy to get someone to change some situations around. Satan is very cruel. And very, very cruel and heartless. All right? But you got a God that's full of compassion and has all this mercy on this nation and on this world because he wants to save us. This is the best time to humble yourself. All right? It's the best time. It can be a great change in this congregation very, very soon. You think people are not going to wise up and say, you know what? I need my faith a little bit stronger than what it is right now. I need a God that's going to have hope in me. I need to have hope in someone. I need something better than what I got going on right now. Because what's going on right now ain't making it. It ain't making it. I need something better. So best believe, when it comes down to it, they're going to cry out to my God, to our God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. All right? Because they say, I don't believe in God. But as soon as something go wrong, oh my God, what am I going to do? Miraculously, they just say that word that they don't believe in. I don't know. It said, never been a day like it. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Absolutely. Okay? And he's fighting for you too. Then Joshua returned with all the Israel camp at Gilgal. Now the five kings had fled into and hidden in the cave in Mecca. When Joshua was told that the five kings were found hidden in the cave of Mecca, he said, roll large rocks in front of the mountain in the cave so they couldn't get out. All right? But don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them for the rear. Don't let none of them reach the cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hands. Okay? So remember, whatever problem you get, all right, it's not too hard for God. When those three men came to Abraham, all right, they came to Abraham and he knew that was the Lord. He knew. He ran to his wife and he said, get up and prepare the best food. And then he selected a fatted calf, and he had one of his servants cut it up. He was not going to let one of his servants find the calf of choosing. He said he went out, and he ran, and he found that he was 90 years old. Abraham was old, and he ran and found the fatted calf, and he gave it to his servant and said, chop it up real quick. Wife, woman, we need some pancakes. Make us some pancakes. Give them everything they need, so they had a nice picnic underneath the sun. And then one of them said, "Where's your wife?" He said, "You know, where's your wife? She's going to conceive." And she laughed. She laughed, and then she lied about it. He said, "Why'd you laugh?" "No, I didn't. Your wife's gonna bear a child." And he didn't believe. She didn't believe him, so he laughed. And he said, "Okay, all right. You did. You said you didn't laugh, but you did laugh." And he said, can a woman of my age have a child? And what did he say? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard. God is the only one that can make a way out of no way. You have to know that. All right? You have to know that. He's the only one to make a way out of no way. So what God really wants you to do is to be still. All right? Let's go to Psalms 46. Let's go to Psalm. We're going to look at some still verses. Psalm 46 and verse number 10. Psalm 46, verse number 10. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We have to start doing that a whole lot more by recognizing who God is. We have to start doing that more. Alright? As you leave and as you come into your house, as you leave the house, you have to recognize and know that I am the very ground that we're walking on belongs to God. The very house that you own, it belongs to God. Everything you have in this life, He owns it. We're just borrowing it. We gotta give it back when we die. We have to know that. But until then, we have to know. And when He says, "Be still," stop being worried. Stop being fearful. Stop having all this anxiety and all this fear. Just stop it. Know who I am, and know I'm gonna take care of the situation. Exodus chapter 14. In verse 14, all right, and then we're going to go to Job chapter 6, verse 24. Exodus 14 and verse 14, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. I mean Job chapter 6, all right, Exodus 14:14. All right, the Bible says, verse 13. And the people, and Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." We have a God that will fight for you. But a faith that does not believe in God cannot fight. That's what it comes down to. A faith that does not work is not faith. Work without faith is dead. Or faith without works is dead. Sorry. You gotta have faith and you gotta have works. Tell me your faith without works. I will show you my faith by my works. The reason why Moses can say what he's saying is because God has been grooming Moses to have this kind of faith before he even left and went to Egypt. He didn't believe that God cared about his people. And so before he can even stand foot, he saw the burning bush. He got up to the mountain and then he said, "Take your sandals off. If you want to come to me, you got to take those sandals off. You are on holy ground. We have to represent who, we have to know who God is." And then when he said, "I've heard these things happen to my people." And then he tested God. You got to put God to the test. You got to put God to the test. He tested God. And God told him, "Pick it up by the tail." Most of the time you're going to pick it up by the head because you don't trust no snake. But he had a plan. God told him to pick it up by the tail. And he did. So he'll turn into a staff. The reason why he did that, because he wanted to show that he trusted him. The reason why some of us are where we are, because we don't test God enough. He told him to test. He tells us to test him. But don't tempt God. You don't do that. All right. Let's go to Job chapter 6, verse 24. I don't want to ramble, because I can go on one thing and stay on it forever. All right. Let's go to Job chapter 6. We're going to read verse 24. And this is, I need to learn this. I need to learn this myself. Okay? I'm still learning. All right? Job 6:24. This is what Job says. "Teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong." This is what we need. We need God to show us where we have been wrong, so we can know where to be right. That's what we need to do. We fall short in this. We need to get right. Alright? Alright, I went through that one. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, we're going to read verse 16 and 17. All right. Justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. So even though the Bible says there is none righteous, there is none that fully obey God, we need to search for it with all of our hearts. Okay, Jesus has said, be perfect. Your Father in heaven is perfect. We need to delight ourselves in the Word, okay? You cannot have peace without war. A war cannot be won without soldiers. And we need to be soldiers for God. Even though the war is already won, we still have a fight that we have to be in every single day. It's not going to get easier out there, all right? But I want to give us a message of comfort and hope and something that we can definitely trust in. And always remember, there is no problem bigger than God, than the power of God. There is nothing that God can't handle. So this too will pass, even though it may be a hard time for a while, all right? But it's been hard times before. Just this in this generation, it hasn't happened. But it happened in the 60s, it happened in the 20s, and it happened in the 40s. These things have happened before. But guess what? All right, what this is going to be is going to be a setup testimony. Okay, just get ready for it. If there's anyone here that have not obeyed the gospel and they want to, they can do that right now. All right, if you have not experienced that power, you need that power in your life right now. All right, either coming to God, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and then you must believe. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is reward of those who diligently seek Him. You must seek Him with all your heart. That's what diligently means. It means that you are actively and correctly searching out the ways of God so you will know how to get on the right track. Once you do that, now you can repent. God wants everyone to be saved. He is not clouding slackness as though man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but all to come into repentance. He wants everyone to change the way they're thinking, so they can start thinking about things above, and that is heaven. He wants you to think of heaven and His Son. And you must confess His Son. If you confess me before men, I will also confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will also deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. You cannot deny God. By resisting a hand is denying the Father. Alright? By any time you do not show an act of love towards God and His people is denying Him. We have to remember that. You are confessing Christ every day of your life. This is not a one-time thing. You are constantly changing your mind. You are constantly believing in God. You are constantly hearing the word of God. The only thing you do not have to do again is be baptized. That's the last step. You must be baptized. They came to Peter and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's what he said. You must repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's the only thing you've got to do once. And then you must be faithful unto death. And God promises. He promises to give you a crown of life. The man can make promises they can't keep. They can't keep all the promises they make. Alright? That's why God tells us do not make promises. Because he knows we can't keep them. But God can make promises because He will keep them. He swear by Himself that I will make sure that Israel has a seed and will be a blessing for all nations. And that was Abraham. And he fulfilled that promise. Alright? Does anyone here want to put Christ on in baptism or have any confession they want to make known? They can do that right now. We stand and sing the Savior's Invitation song.